Ooh, I got something. You're gonna love it, Joel. You're gonna love it. You excited for the big news?
What's the big news?
Oh, you're gonna like, you can't wait for the show to start.
I got new something. Car?
No. Oh, it's even better than a new car. You're gonna love it.
I can't hear you.
Episode 872.
Go.
You ready, Joe?
Sure.
All right.
Momentum time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
My fly is open.
P.O. Showtime!
When you were making it for young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing, Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies that will link it bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLNTS.org. And ICChannelIsLinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 872 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How you doing?
We have Joel.
Yo, yo.
And we have Joe.
Hello, hello.
All right. So I don't want to leave you hanging, Joe, Pat. The exciting news. I pulled the trigger, man. I had to buy some spatulas this week.
So I got to buy some.
So I also picked up the video games. That thing that we were looking at last week, Joel.
Oh, that thing?
The handheld thing.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
which one?
The video games.
Which I'm trying to remember which one it was.
It's that's what the box says. Video games. It's the
$40 one.
Placida handheld video game console.
That's the one.
Yeah, the $40.
It's got the classic arcade games on it or something.
It's got games. It's got games, man.
It's got game?
It's got game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me what the games are, but it's got games. Well, all right, so...
That's the X1 that looks like the PlayStation Portable.
It's not as big as the PlayStation Portable. You know what? I wish I had my GP2X. Right? I think it's little... The screen is a little bigger than the GP2X. When I pulled it out of the box and held it, it feels pretty solid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't drop it. Right? So the screen is nice, but my aging eyes do better with glasses. My wife's glasses to see for close up. But mm-hmm. I can still use it without it. When you look at it, it has two joysticks on it. They are positioned right across from each other. And then it has two keypads. One is the arrows on the left. And then on the right, it's the A, B, X, Y. Set up just like a standard Nintendo, Super Nintendo keypad. That's kind of the button layout. Then it has... Cherry Hill Tony, you have to mute yourself. You are causing an echo.
Am I okay now?
Let me see. No, we're still echoing back.
Turn on push to talk, Cherry Hill.
There, I muted him.
It has two triggers at the top, two trigger buttons. Although you almost would think that they're not trigger buttons, they're clear. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of hard to push in. They're not very ergonomic. You have to forcefully push them in. It has the select and start buttons on the right, and it has an escape button on the left. And on top, it has the volume controls and the on-off switch. And then it also has a power button, which I guess is a restart. It's got a camera in it. I don't know why you would want a camera, but... It has it in there. I didn't take a picture with it. It comes preloaded with a ton of games, right? Which almost makes you wonder, how did they get away with it? What's that?
Anything we've heard of?
Oh, you've heard pretty much of all of them. So it's primarily loaded with Nintendo and Super Nintendo games and Game Boy games. Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, Standard Game Boy. And it has arcade games on it too. Like, now there's not a lot of arcade games, and so when you turn it on, the screen flashes with all these like video game images, like promotional images for video games, just like flash by, not necessarily in-game footage, but like it's almost like the what you would see on Street Fighter's cabinet kind of picture would flash by. And then you get to the main navigation screen, which I don't know what it is, like how it decides what games, like at the top it shows like 8 games. It's almost 2 screens full of games. So there's 4 big icons. They seem to be the arcade games. So there's like Punisher, 1943, UN Squad, Magic Sword, and a few others on there. And then you have navigation down at the bottom, the menu system. It's games, movies, music, camera, photo, ebooks, file manager, then the tool setting and theme style. When I went into the games, there are a whole bunch of them, and they're in categories. These are like names of the categories. You have 300 Classic Invincible Collection, Adventure Island Series, Alloy Warhead. I have no idea what that is. Adventure Series, the Contra Series, Castlevania Series. Straight up theft going on right here. Double Dragon, Dragon Ball Series, Final Fantasy Series. Then, like, I don't know why they did this, right? They make
There's
no
gotta be
bones.
Some kind of bulk licensing there.
Yeah. They make no bones about, like, Final Fantasy and Castlevania. But then there's the Pet Elf Series. Can you guess what the Pet Elf Series is?
Pokemon?
It's Pokemon, yes. There's also a Pokemon series in here too, but I don't know why. Like, so there's Transformers, there's Tetris. So it's primarily, like I said, the Nintendo games in here. There is Sonic, but it's the Game Boy. I think it's the Game Boy Advance Sonic stuff. It's not the Sega Sonic. So I kind of get the impression there's only whatever emulators are in here that's built in, it's Nintendo and it's some arcade games. Now on top of that, you have like they have a categories like Game FC, which I believe is Famicom, Game GBC, which is Game Boy Color, Game SFC, which is Super Famicom. Then you have NES and SMC, which I'm not 100% sure what SMC is. But what's weird is if you go into some of these menus, it's like the same games repeated over and over again. So
Sega Mega CD.
Oh, is that it? Oh, and maybe that's it. You got Sega in here.
Navigation. Yeah, Sega Mega CD is the same as Genesis, so.
Okay, then you had Sega Genesis in here. Navigation is fucking atrocious on this thing, right? So you go into one of these collections, and when you have 300 collection, like the 300 collections, there's a list of 300 games in here, and you have presented in two columns, and if you want to scroll to like something on Z, you have to go through the whole list. And there is no page down button that I have found. You have to go down all the way pressing the down button.
I bet you can remove
Does it start fast scrolling partway through?
No. Well, oh. I mean, yes, it kind of does, but it's not really that fast. Like, okay. Here, listen. That's how fast it is.
Okay, so it's not like just RetroPie or RetroArch?
No, it's not.
No, it's its own thing.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, right? So I tried playing a few of the games on here, and they work just fine. A lot of them are in Chinese that I've tried, and a lot of them, like, if I go to the game NES, and I really enjoy Abadox. Abadox was a side shooter game where you travel through like this organism's body. It's pretty cool. But when I go to play Abadox, I don't get Abadox. I get Casino Kid. So I was kind of bummed about that. And then there was another one, Abadox 2. I was like, okay, maybe that's Abadox. No, it's Dr. Mario. So I don't know what's going on. That's right. That's what I did when I plugged it into my computer. When I plugged it into my laptop down here, it mounts as a mass storage device, like a standard SD card. And yep. I had access to it. So I went in and I renamed Abadox 2 to Dr. Mario. And that's mm-hmm. why it's not showing up for me anymore in under Abadox 2. I then...
Did you check to see what Dr. Mario was?
You know what? I did. Here's the other pain in the ass about this. I don't know where they got these ROMs from, and I don't know what emulators they're using. I tried to run some of these ROMs on, ZSNES, and I tried to run it through the other Nintendo emulator that I had access to, and neither of them would play these ROMs. They just kept coming back saying bad ROMs. Huh. Now, the flip side to this was I went out and I grabbed Abadox, and I also grabbed Super Turrican 1 and 2 and a few of the other Turrican games, which were not on here. And I dropped them in here, and they worked just fine, right?
There you go.
So I was able to play the stuff that I put on here. Now, I also tried to put on an arcade game I grabbed, In the Hunt. It's one of my favorite submarine games. I always like to try that one out. It would not load on here. So I don't know what I'm missing to make that work properly on this machine. Whether I don't know what the emulator is, so it's hard to figure out if I need specific board ROMs or whatever it is to work in conjunction with that. But it's pretty nice for $40. I can't complain. But I also play Carnage. Say,
Abadox, yeah. Is that Abadox, the Deadly Inner War?
Yes.
Okay, yes. From Nintendo. Okay.
Now, what I also tried started doing is you can make your own directories on there, and you can put a SD card in here too if you wanted to, and load games off of there. So
that's probably a better way.
Yeah. So the navigation, like I said, is terrible. But if I find ones that I like, it does have a recently played list. So if you find something you like, but I should have double checked whether I don't know if it has Zelda on here. I didn't see Zelda, but it has. Yeah, it's straight up ripping off Nintendo. Big time, right?
Of course.
There's, and when you say licensing, Joe, there ain't no licensing going on this damn thing.
It's from China. It's from China. China is asshole.
Now, it has a TV out, and I hooked it up to my TV, and it works pretty good. It works really well on the TV. Unfortunately, the cable that it comes with is like 2.5 feet long. So
that's crap.
I'm plugging it into the side of my TV, and I have to sit right, like almost up against my TV to play this because you know you can't sit back because the cable's not long enough. But
they make HDMI extenders.
It's not HDMI. It's a TV out. It's AV out.
Oh well, they make RCA extenders.
Yes, and I have a longer cable, which I think I can use now. Oh, here's the wonkiest thing about this. It's the USB B cable. That's B, right?
Yeah, the old one, yeah.
The fat. That's what you connect it, you power this thing up with and charge it with and connect it into your computer with. Like, I wish it was USB. Mic Mini.
Or the Mini, yeah.
Yeah, this is a big fat-ass connection.
Or Micro. Actually, you have the Mini. That's the Micro, that's right.
So, right off the bat, like the storage on here, it was like 8.5, it's 8 gigs, like 7.5 was filled up with ROMs, so it left like 500 megs for me to put other stuff on there, which isn't too bad.
You can probably take the ones you're never going to play off.
Yeah, you could delete stuff right from the device itself. Like, if you press the wrong button, it says, do you want to delete this? And you can get rid of it. But, you know, but I don't know if I want to delete the Aladdin series.
You know? Back it up and then delete it.
Even if it is on your PC. What's that?
Just put them on your PC, and then if you decide you want to play them later.
Yeah, no, I could do that. But again, a lot of these things are in. I would have to do that.
They're Chinese.
Because they're Chinese, and I'm not sure I can change the language. Although Aladdin 2.
I'm just gonna say archive.org.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I haven't. For $40.
Yeah.
For $40.
It's a steal.
You know what chaps my ass about this? This is what chaps...
What grinds your gears?
What grinds my gears is for $40. Like, this is the option I have. If I want a handheld device to play Nintendo games, like old Nintendo games, this is my option. Realistically...
In the $40 range.
This is,
yeah,
well,
the $40 range.
Even in the $300 range, this is my option.
You could play
The Wondershare Wave Hat and a frickin' Raspberry Pi.
No, wait a second. Let me explain what I'm saying here, Joe. What I'm saying is this is kind of my option. Like, if I don't want to build something,
right,
or I could buy something pre-built. And I don't want to have to go searching for ROMs and stuff like that.
Or if it's not on the Switch game store.
Right. This is like, this for $40, this gave me almost the entire Nintendo collection. Right? Which is terrible. But Nintendo will not give me this at any price.
That's true.
And I'm like, why not? Even, like... Nintendo has their Switch with the...
And it's really stupid because people would be willing to pay for it, but because they don't have an option to pay for it, they just go and get it for free.
Right. I mean, you know, I can do the RetroPie. I can get the stuff. You know, you can do... There's a whole avenue of options.
It's like TV streams. You want to do the right thing and pay the stupid fee, the legal, and be, you know, legit. And then say, like, you want to get the game, and then all of a sudden you tune in, and it's blacked out in your area.
Or my next show for Living in the Shade is talking about both movies and documentaries that featured video games. And two of the documentaries I mentioned are High Score, which I did finish watching, which is fantastic.
Me too, I watched it.
Netflix.
And the other one is King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters. I can't find that anywhere.
That was on Netflix.
Yeah, that's where I saw
it. It was.
Netflix.
Yeah, it's not there anymore. I have to look and see. I might be able to rent it on Amazon or something, but it's not there anymore. I do want to watch that, but I did talk about that in my next show that comes out Saturday. And I also talked
about the topic they didn't cover that they could cover in the second season. They didn't go into a lot of, like, the old computer, retro computer games. Like, you know, the Commodore 64.
A little bit, though, with the role-playing games?
Not that much.
Right, because Roberta Williams was in there. She's the one who wrote King's Quest. But
yeah, that was cool. They had her, yeah. And they all had stuff with the name Lord Bridge.
Yep. And there was always, some sort of featurette in each show that I think you know where I'm going with this, Pat. The political bent on a little bit of it. Which they didn't knock it through your head or anything. It was just like they had like a in the first episode they talk about the Channel F and the guy who came up with really the first cartridge system for the Atari was a black man, you know. I don't even remember his name off the top of my head, but you know, that shows you how important the Channel F really was, which it wasn't.
They also talk about the a lot of the other platform systems, like Intellivision or ColecoVision.
Right.
They didn't really go into any of that. But that Vector game, which I had, remember the Vector game? Yes, I had that. And it was cool. It was different.
I need to do an episode, which I guess it fits, on the Mattel Electronics handheld video games. I need to do some research on those.
Oh, those little tiny crappy ones?
Well, yeah, but they were all we had. I mean, I played the heck out of the football game when I was a kid.
Well, yeah, I did too, but that doesn't mean they work crappy.
Yeah, there's talk about that too. You're right.
The Tiger Direct ones?
No, I'm talking about more like the Mattel ones with the LEDs,
yeah, the football,
with the dashes.
Right.
Coleco. Oh, the real old ones, like the Radio Shack ones.
Yeah, well, Mattel.
Well, Mattel had them, yeah. I'm sorry, Pat, go ahead.
Basically the blinking red light game.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, football, you had basketball, you had...
I think I played more of the Tiger Direct
baseball
ones.
Baseball. Yeah, well, there was the GameCom. That was a handheld game system that wasn't very good.
Well, I remember playing things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and all it was yep. a bunch of black figures jumping around on the screen.
I have to look at I'm looking at, like, I'd love to buy like a 3DS. Like, they have a new one of the new 3DS XLs. That looks like an NES controller on the outside of it. Did you see that one, Dan? That looks pretty cool, but it's just a 3DS XL.
Right.
So, but I'm trying to think, do I want that, or do I just want to go with a Switch Lite or a regular Switch?
I'd love to do one of the Game Boy builds with a Raspberry
right.
Pi.
Yeah.
But it's prohibitively expensive.
The Game Pi or whatever it was. Yeah.
Pi Girl is one of them, but that was a smaller one. There's a whole bunch of builds out there that use like the original
yep.
Game Boy casing, and then you get the screen, and they'll sell you the PCB and the buttons. I'd
right.
love to do something like that. It's
what makes it so expensive?
Probably the PCB. For the controls.
Yeah,
and
the screen is control, yeah.
The screen and that's probably it. I mean,
they use a Pi Zero, don't they? I think
some of them use a Pi Zero, some of them use like a Pi 4.
Wow.
You got to remember how thick the original Game Boy was.
True. Well, that's like one of the reasons why I haven't now. When I get into the new place, you know, if everything works out and that actually happens, and it should, as far as I know, one of the things I'm thinking about doing is I want a TV for my office, and I'm going to finally set up my Atari 800 XL all the time. But one of the things I'm going to buy then is...
Ooh, you have an Atari 800 XL with the keyboard?
Yep.
Oh, I had one. My fucking roommate stepped on it.
Ah.
My former roommate stepped
yeah.
on it.
But
I had a buddy
get
who ran his BBS off of one of those for years.
Yep. But there's two things I'm looking at getting them. There's one that basically the Atari's cable format was called the SIO or CIO. And Atari had it was all daisy chain. So basically you only really had to have one connector onto your computer, and the rest of the stuff just daisy changed off of it. All the peripherals like the printers and the cassette drive and all that had a second port on there, so they just daisy chained. But they came out with the guy, he goes by Lotharek on eBay, an SIO to SD card. So basically you load up floppy images from various places on the SD card, and then you have a LCD display on the device. You scroll through it, you find the floppy image you want, press a button, and then you turn your computer on like you're booting a floppy drive. So then it loads just like a floppy game would. About the same speed, too. It doesn't load faster. But so there's that, and I think there's also a similar device for cartridge images. We pop an SD card full of cartridge ROM images for games that were based on the ROM or cartridge format on the Atari 800 XL. Then you turn your computer on and it loads just off that. So, but the problem is like the SAO to SD is $50. I think the other ones were out between $50 and $70. And it's like, do I really want to spend that for something I'm playing for nostalgia's sake, you know, on real hardware, you know, cause there are emulators for the Atari 800 XL, but it's playing it on real hardware.
When you have Joel Mad money, spend away.
Shut up, Bridge. Anyway, yeah, we've been spending this week fixing my bathroom for the new owner.
No, oh, so you're out?
We got an offer Monday. So I got, they're sending radon equipment tomorrow, and then Friday is their inspection.
Did you tell them, hey, look, I've lived here for 20 years, there's nothing wrong with me?
Yeah.
That's what I said, we need to rush the radon equipment down?
No, so then once we find out what's wrong with the place, which they're always going to find something. I don't care how good
you, so you have. So you're telling me your kitchen, the money spent on the kitchen will be going to a new owner because they'll use it?
And a new bathroom. I use my kitchen. Haven't used it much this week because I've been too busy doing shit. Oh, man.
So is this going to be a clean move-out, move-in? Like, you're going to move out of your place, you bought a new house, you're going to move in, there's no hotel living, nothing?
No, we're going to have to find an apartment or live in, like, an extended stay for a while. So, because we don't... Oh, the new build's not due till February. I'm kind of pushing toward...
How many cars do you have? The Traverse? Two. You can fold the seats down, right?
But,
it's good for Silicon Valley workers. Wait, you got a hot spot in the Traverse.
I'm trying to push towards the extended stay and then just buy all our shit in, you know? And then
wait, you work remote? Just go on vacation.
Yeah. What'd you say, Pat?
The gyms are open. You can shower there.
All right.
Actually, yeah, you got Planet Fitness, right?
Actually, I do, but they don't let you shower right now because of COVID. Kind of bullshit. It's kind of bullshit when you think about it, but
yeah, because when you're showering, you're closer than 6 feet, right?
I guess, yeah, whatever. Well, that's better.
They just want to make sure the hoagie guy doesn't come by.
Yeah. Well, initially they said you must wear a mask inside here. Then they clarified it. Oh, when you're working out, you don't have to wear a mask. I'm like, so what's the fucking difference?
It's like going into a restaurant with a mask.
Right. Oh, please. Oh, dude. You Pat, you're going to need...
It's ignoring you when you're eating.
Pat, you're going to need duct tape for your head. So I'm in Gainesville, Florida. I'm dropping off my daughter at college, and we're at a BJ's in Gainesville. And we're like, hey, let's just order to-go food. We'll bring it back to the dorm, and we'll eat together, and then we'll hit the road. So we're sitting. We're, you know, 20 feet away from anyone. It's my wife and I sitting next to each other. The guy was very nice. He's like, hey, while your order is, you know, getting made, can I bring you out some water? So it's like, wow, yeah, that'd be great, because it's hotter than stink in Florida. So I've got, you know, a cup with a straw and water, and my wife and I are sitting next to each other on a bench by the door, you know, not by the main door, there's another side door. So there's nobody within 20 feet of us, and 20 feet away, there's four people at a table eating with no mask. The girl at the front, you know, the greeter or whatever, she's like, you got to put your mask on. I'm like, yeah, I'm drinking water. She's like, no, well, you're not drinking now. I'm like, I just took a sip. So I just sat there with the straw in my mouth. You know, I'm reading, you know, my phone and just sat there with my straw in my mouth. It's there, like, really? Really? There's nobody around. My wife went nuts, though. She has no problem taking on these people.
Telling people off. Well, yeah, well, you can be a mask hole both ways. You can be the mask hole who will refuse to wear a mask and berate the person standing there telling you to wear a mask, or you can be the mask hole who wears the mask and gets upset when people don't wear the mask.
Okay. All I got to say is you're retarded AF if you drive a car and you're the only one in the car and you're wearing
a mask.
And
you have a mask on.
Yeah, I know. So ridiculous.
I've seen that. I'm like, oh, Lord, help us. I've seen people riding motorcycles with masks on, bicycles with masks on, and I mean outdoors. We're talking outdoors here. Just want to clarify. Outside. So,
unless you're immune compromised, then I can understand, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I fully understand that. And most motorcyclists are immune compromised.
Then if you're immune compromised, what the hell are you doing out? The only reason I can say is because he ain't got no choice. Because that's the truth in some cases.
Even so, people that are immunocompromised need to eat.
No, they don't. No, you can something.
Well, you can order your Uber Eats, or you can.
And
do...
that gets touched by other people.
Exactly.
I know.
Yeah, you know we're. So I got a question. Does anybody know anything about comma AI?
Nope.
Do you guys even know what it is?
Nope.
Never heard of it.
Okay, so I may be delving into comma AI. Now, comma AI is George Hot, Geo Hot. Do you know that guy?
Nope.
Yeah, the Geo Hots, right?
Yeah. So, basically, what comma, it's comma.ai, and you can go to the website. It basically, for $1,200, it's like $999 for the comma 2, and, you know, $200 for the harness. You can have level 2 autonomy on your car. Now, the prerequisite is your car has adaptive cruise control and, you know, some sort of lane stability type system that it'll steer you into your lane. And the comma AI is basically, I forget what cell phone it is, but it's a cell phone and it's doing it all visually, and it basically intercepts the CAN bus and then gives, you know, driving commands and, you know, level 2 autonomy. So if you get, and you can get some pretty low-end cars, some of the low-end hybrids, as far as I know.
Okay.
I don't, you know, that's a great question, Joe. I haven't heard it wasn't, but, you know, okay, could be. So,
well, it's level 2 autonomy, so you might want to explain that real quick. That's where you still have to be awake and behind the wheel.
Yeah, so, and then there's, like, different degrees of level 2 autonomy. So, comma AI will not do, like, the Tesla summon where the car will pull out from the parking spot and drive to you. It won't do that. The Tesla does have some advantages because you can pre-program a route and it'll drive the route, whereas the comma AI doesn't have route programming in it yet. So there's, and thanks for pointing out, you know, level 1, level 2, level 3 type autonomy stuff, because they're, so people understand, because everybody here is self-driving car, that's, you know, what they think. Anyhow, so some pretty low-end cars that you can buy used are doing level, work with comma AI system. So you could go to the website, look at the drop-down, and check if your vehicle is on the list. So I may have a series of videos coming out soon.
Now, that's still, you program in the destination, and then you just watch the car do all the work, right?
Well, no, not with the comma AI. Basically, it gets you on the highway, and it'll do stop-and-go traffic. It'll do, you know, navigation. I mean, I don't think it does destination. I don't think you punch in a destination. I'll have to check on that. But it does a fair amount of level 2 autonomy, and I've seen reviews online of it versus the Tesla. And it actually does, you know, they each have strengths where one's better at something than the other. So it's pretty interesting. Whereas, you know, you pay $7,000 to $9,000 for the Tesla autopilot, and it's, you know, $1,200 for the Comma AI.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, so the part of that is spurned on by my daughter's, I don't know how many hours away in Gainesville. It might be 4 hours by the way my wife drives and 3 hours by the way I drive. So if we want to go visit her when she's in college, we're thinking it might be nice to have something that drove, you know, did most of the work. Serious guys, no, nobody wants a self-driving car? Weren't we supposed to have flying DeLoreans by this time?
Pass. Hard pass.
Serious, Pat, next you won't want auto-aiming guns, you know?
Right.
Speaking of guns, I'm printing one now.
Well, he's got his A-net going again.
Oh, I have an idea for a 3D printed accessory.
What do you like?
For a low end thermal optics, or basically video cameras.
Uh-huh.
And you can run those battery packs, you know, those battery backup USB batteries.
Mm-hmm.
On them. I was thinking maybe a 3D printed battery holder that mounts to your 16 rail.
Huh? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's easy to do.
Well, that other storm dissipated, didn't it?
Which one, the first hurricane or the second hurricane?
The second one.
Serious? That was supposed to be...
There's only one active storm on the NHC's website, and it's Laura that's bearing down between Texas and Louisiana.
Well, that's the one that's a hurricane.
Right. But the depression's not there anymore either. They have a yellow X to the west of Africa, but that's it.
150-mile-an-hour winds. That is nothing to sneeze at.
And it's a possibility it could strengthen to a Cat 5 before it landfalls, too.
God bless those people.
Let's see. Let me see what the forecast advisory is. They just came out at 9 o'clock. Actually, 9 Eastern, UTC.
So it's interesting that Laura's going to become a storm. Well, it's going to weaken down to a depression and then go back out into the Atlantic and become a storm. So, Dan, you might get some of that.
What's it looking like?
I don't want any of it.
You need some rain there?
We've got enough rain.
I'm going to say, every dang time they get a lot of rain, his basement floods, don't it?
It depends. Like, it could rain for a day and a half, and I won't get anything. And then it'll come in, and it'll have a downpour for 10 minutes, and it'll be all over my basement. It all depends on how wet or how dry it is to begin with when it starts.
At least I don't get any of that.
Yeah, I don't know. We've had some heavy rains recently, and I'm not sure if it's affecting the budding on my dragon fruits.
Yeah. I got a little bit more brush in the backyard to clean up, and then that'll
flame
be done.
Flamethrower.
Don't think I didn't think about that. I need to get that. The boring, it's not a flamethrower.
Well, it's really a roof, what's it? It's for doing flash gun roofs. Just in a plastic housing.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I did this week was I hooked up the Arduino to this Chromebook and started messing around with the IDE on it. Has anybody used the web-based IDE?
Or no.
Nope.
So I looked at that as an option, and there is a subscription fee for that. I think you can try it out for like 30 days, but then afterwards it's like a couple of dollars a month that they want for it. But I was like...
Now, are you USB programming the Arduino?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I like. I like programming it with a Raspberry Pi.
The IDE on the Raspberry Pi?
Yeah.
You have the Raspberry Pi hooked up to a monitor programming the IDE that way?
Oh, no. I don't even mean that. Most of my SBCs are all headless. In fact, they're all headless. What am I saying most?
Promote desktop to it.
What are you using?
So I just, instead of using that USB device to, flash it, I just hook to the 40-pin header on the Raspberry Pi, and so I'll do the code in Sketch on my Mac, and then just SSH, SCP it over to the Raspberry Pi, and then, burn it or whatever program the Arduino.
What pins does it hook up to on the Raspberry Pi?
Oh, gosh. It's funny. I took mine apart that I was using for that, so I don't know right offhand, but you can Google it up. I'll tell you why I like it, because Sketch seems to do a whole bunch of crap. It's Sketch, right? Do I have it right, or am I thinking of another thing?
Yeah, the Arduino Sketch.
So it just seems like Sketch does a whole lot of crap, whereas if you put the file on the Raspberry Pi and then flash, it just flashes. No, no BS, no long time wait.
I don't know. Like I said, the only thing I've done is just a couple of simple programs so far just to get a feel for it. And I have my daughter, my youngest, do the same thing, just follow the same things I did, play around with it.
Is there going to be Linux in the How House?
Well, I don't know. I'm still trying to get her interested. Like, she wants to do a robotic arm, but I'm like, before we get to doing the programming a robotic arm or building and programming a robotic arm, let's learn how to use it first. She don't want to learn how to use it. She wants to just program it. She just wants that robotic arm.
What, Lily?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
What device is it?
Just the Arduino.
Okay, yeah, I've been playing with Arduino lately.
The Uno.
I've been playing with the Pro Micro, although I do have an Uno.
So yeah. I have Tasmoto devices, so that's, Arduino-based. And my freaking garage door isn't working right, the automation on my garage door. So now I got to remember how I did it in the first place.
Well, you can do a dump.
Yeah, but something that we're integrated into my home automation controller isn't right. So it's not, nothing's changed on the programming on the garage door control, on the Sonoff SV
that I'm using for the garage door. What system use your home automation stuff uses? Is it Z-Wave?
No, so everything that I'm doing is basically Wi-Fi. So okay. The Sonoff SV is Wi-Fi based. And so it hooks into the Home Assistant and by MQTT.
Okay. Because my new house I have that we're building has Z-Wave, Z-Wave thermostat. And it uses Z-Wave for the front door cam /lock and alarm.com app via the Qlosys console display. There'll be like they'll probably see that's the I guess I'll find it out tomorrow. I think they mount that usually by the front door. But you can control like the lights because it has a Z-Wave light switch for the great room. I think is where they put that at. and a quick set smart code 888 lock for the front door. And Skybell. Skybell is the camera system they use for the front door / doorbell. So I kind of wish they used Ring, but...
So part of my home automation security concept is security through obscurity. Like mm-hmm. the garage door, I rolled my own. You know, you can't buy this. Right. So that's, if you know there a builder went through a whole neighborhood and he did all of these devices and there's an exploit for it, you guys were all screwed.
Yeah, true. But
so I do have
only
keyless
if I
entry.
Leave defaults.
Yeah, I well, even if you don't, I have keyless entry on two doors, but they are not connected. They're not smart. They are not, right. You know, they're just keyless entry that are battery operated.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, well, it says has geofencing, so I assume that it can like unlock the door as you come close to the house for you, so you don't have to unlock it. One question I'm going to have tomorrow is, can we put the door, the magic door lock on the garage door instead of the front door? We'll see. May not have much of a choice, but...
So you're saying you want to be able to pull into your garage door and have the passage door into the house be unlocked?
Yes. I think I actually... And that would
yeah,
be
that,
really
that makes
safe.
Much more sense.
Yeah. Because at least then, if it does unlock in the middle of it, at least I got the garage door down, you know?
Well, one of the interesting things I was having, so the alarm system auto-arms at 10 p.m., and the garage door detects whether it's open or not, and if it's closed at, if it's open at 9:55 p.m., it'll auto-close. But sometimes I'm doing something, like I'll have the car apart in half in the garage so I can walk around it. So that could be an issue.
Right. It looks like they throw an Echo Dot into my house as well. But
isn't there a sensor that would prevent it from closing?
Yeah, it'll start and then it'll realize it'll stop. But, you know, it's a just-in-case type thing. You want to terminate that programming or that automation.
Okay.
Which you don't always think of. It's like, I did last time. I'm like, ooh, I got the car half of the garage. It's like, let me kill that automation.
Yeah. Sometimes automation's good, sometimes it's not so good.
Wait, what broke it?
I have no idea. It might be something in my home automation assistant that's wrong, because it's not displaying right. I haven't gone through to debug it. We've had a couple of power issues where the power went out and then on and off a couple of times. So I'm not sure if that's related. It seems like in the past when I've had the power flicker, I've had to like reboot the system, manually actuate the door, so it got the sensing correct. But that is not the case right now. It, you know, it works. It just doesn't know whether the door is open or closed. I do have a camera in the garage. There's three cameras that'll see the garage door. So there's, you know, one inside the garage and then two outside. But it is nice for the home automation system to know the garage door is closed on its own.
Beep and left channel and disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of work to reset it up.
Yeah, well, the problem is, you know, if it broke immediately after I set it up, it'd be fine. I'd know how to damn do it. But now that it's, you know, a year plus later, I have no clue what I did. And hopefully I've bookmarked and tagged.
Right?
Yep.
Your code's not documented?
I do have backups of all my configs.
You didn't
but I don't...
do a write-up while you were making it?
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes I'll blog, and I won't even publish the blog, just so I know I have reference material to go back to.
Right. You should see my standard notes. It is just notes and notes and notes of different projects that I've done.
I hear you. I'm kind of jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing the research on the new car that we're going to be getting. And when I say new, it's going to be a used vehicle.
New to you.
New to me, yes. The new to me vehicle that we're... I mean, it's a freaking nightmare. It's a real freaking nightmare. Because you know, now you can look across the entire country very easily and find vehicles and find the best price. And then you're like, oh, where was that? Somebody... Now the dealer calls up. And he's like, hey, I want to talk to you about the car. It's like, what car? The car you're looking at. I'm like, what car was it? And then he gives you the model. I'm like, look, if you don't give me the VIN, I have no idea what we're talking about. So, yeah, it's at first I was using, like, Digio. I don't know if it's Digio or Digio to figure it out. But now it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you're into flying, did you see the Microsoft brought out Flight Sim 2020?
Yeah, I've never used any Microsoft products for that.
The new
they crashed price. Too much.
Yeah, I thought you did that on your own. It's gorgeous, but it's like I'm not gonna spend thousands of dollars so I can get a PC to run it. Because I'm hearing that the specs you need to run for Flight Sim 2020 is pretty substantial. Because I think they're bringing in the ATIS into the game, too.
Flying Ridge CB2 left channel and disconnected.
Of course he left.
We got him!
Yeah, they're supposed to. I think the game is supposed to bring in like real time weather and stuff like that. So, like for example, if you wanted to go fly the Hurricane, you probably could right now.
You can do it safely, right?
Of course, it's a simulation. Yeah, it was released on August 18th.
And then realize that you don't ever want to fly in a Hurricane.
Probably not.
How much is it?
That's a good question. I'm trying to see. I want to say I thought it was...
I've seen a lot about it. Like, I've seen a lot of articles about it. I haven't read any of them. It looks really nice. But that's not something I'll probably be investing any money in any time in the future.
No, I'd have to build the gaming system before it would actually work too well.
That's like with X-Pilot, that's the same thing. You gotta build a system. To run, it doesn't work very well with just your keyboard and mouse. Well, I mean, I guess it probably could to some extent, but you lose out on a lot of stuff. Remember we used to go to Linux shows and they would have, like, somebody would bring their... I think it was X-Pilot. Wasn't that the big one? X-Pilot, like, setup? Would actually have like cockpits and everything from an actual plane taken out, and it had X-Pilot in there against the windows. Did you ever see that, Joel?
Nope.
That was amazing stuff.
I think it's $60 for standard, $89 for deluxe. And Premium Deluxe is $119.
When was the last time they put out a
release? 2006.
Oh, wow.
FSX was that version. Yeah, you need a Intel i5 or Ryzen 3 or better. NVIDIA GTX 770 or better graphics. 8 gigs of RAM and 150 gigs of storage.
How much storage?
150.
Wow.
So,
That's more storage than I have all in this whole entire setup.
If you buy the Xbox Game Pass for the PC, it's included in that.
How much is the Xbox Game Pass?
That's a good question. Probably, certainly, a monthly charge. I'll get access to over 100 high-quality PC games on Windows 10. Join and you get your first month for a dollar at the unlimited time price of $5 a month afterwards. Well, that's not too bad, I guess. So it's more like a gaming streaming service.
Wait, I thought you said Game Pass.
Pass.
Oh, Pass. Okay.
Yeah, Pass. I'm probably yawn because. Well, just because I'm probably yawn.
So the Xbox Game Pass comes with it.
Well, the game Flight Sim 2020 comes with it, yes. If you get that.
Will that work on the Xbox? Or is that, is that strictly on.
It's Windows? The PC version of the Xbox Game Pass.
Okay. That's.
I don't know if it is on the Xbox. I bet you it could be. I don't know how well that would work with the standard Xbox controller.
Yeah. I think you need a special controller for it. Well, I mean, you could probably use any controller, but it works better.
Well, you'd have too many buttons if you didn't have. I mean, I think you'd need at least a keyboard or something in addition to a game controller, because you need some way to hit, like, the right key for raising the gear and depending on what aircraft you fly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But. Excuse me. Trying to remember the last version. I had it at one point, but it was a really old version, like maybe 98, maybe. I don't remember. Excuse me. You know, my hope is that they go through here and they might find things and they might decide, well, we don't need that fixed because we're going to fix that on our own anyway. Which is a lot of what people do nowadays. But you really find out information about people when you try to sell your house, and it's almost creepy too when you go to sell a house, like, and they put that lockbox on your door, and when you have a showing, they don't want you there, you know. So like, you got people you don't even know go through your house. It's like, really? But you gotta do what you want to do to sell it, I guess. Stressful 4 days. So we're on the market last Thursday, and we sold Monday. So, which is a very good thing, because it was starting to look bleak. Because, you know, people would say, you know, we got pets, you know. So, And I don't care what you do. You know, you can have the most clean cat box there is, and you're still going to smell it from time to time.
It's the best.
People don't like that. So anyway, the major ugly place in my house is going to be fixed tomorrow. So it's almost fixed now. They put the subfloor in and new ring. He's just going to put some of the more that we have plenty of that flooring left, so he's going to put more of that flooring. That flooring stays. All my appliances stay. Everything works out. We move into the new house. The new house, the fridge on the new house has water in the door with the ice machine. I'm going to be spoiled, Dan. I really am. And we're going with the gas. I don't know how I feel about that yet, but that's what we decided. You ever cook on a gas range, Dan?
Yeah, my parents had a gas range.
Yeah. I think the nice thing is as soon as you turn off the heat, it's gone for the most part. I mean, yeah, it takes some time for the grates to cool down and stuff, but if you got something boiling over, that's the way to do it, man.
I really like
it takes a lot more time for an electric stove to cool down.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, turn off.
So we'll see. And if the close date stays in February, then when we move in February, we won't have grass. We'll put it in later, but we won't have grass in February. Because I'll lay the sun. But the best part is that I don't have to mow it. Or weed it, or any of that mess. I got something I might do tomorrow night, so I might run the weed eater outside. I got stuff in the back I gotta do, but... I hate yard work.
Who doesn't hate yard work?
Fools who love mowing their yard.
I like mowing my yard. I don't like weed whacking.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind mowing.
You know, one cool thing there, Dan, was we start cleaning a bunch of overgrowth off. In fact, it's almost all gone now. I got a little bit more to do. But one morning, like I think it was Saturday morning. Yeah, Saturday morning. When we woke up, I heard a whole bunch of buzzing, you know, like someone running a chainsaw outside.
Bees? Yellow jackets?
No. Actually, somebody was running a chainsaw right on the other side of our fence, and the fire training facility had a landscaping company, and they were cleaning all the stuff off my fence. So it's almost is almost like it was when we first moved in, with the exception the grass doesn't look that great. But you know, I think the backyard was always just seeded the backyard. I don't think they put sod on the whole lot, if I remember right. But I don't like that stuff. I'd rather do the inside stuff. And the only place we'll have carpet in the whole entire house is my office upstairs and the steps. Because for some reason they can't put like finished steps in your house. I don't know why that is, but that's the truth there. And the only thing is the bonus room upstairs, I don't think it will have a door. It's kind of a negative, but it's not too bad, I guess. You know. So, I just pray they don't find anything major wrong with the house that, you know, we have some in savings and we can fix some things. Like, I think we probably will end up fixing the steps out front.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly the railing, I should say. And there's a couple of spots where the cinder block underneath is disintegrating, so we can get some cement and fill that in, probably.
And then that should...
Leaf boards on the deck, but I'm going to screw that down. So I cleaned the deck the other weekend with that bleach smelling lime away kind of stuff. I'm glad we don't have a deck on a new house, and I'm glad. I don't want it. New house has a screen room, which is very nice. You can eat outside and not get chewed up by bugs.
Well, I know we were talking about Arduinos earlier. I've been making macro keyboards or auto hotkey keyboards at this point.
Well, how's that going?
They work. It's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of soldering and Arduino Pro Micro and some keys, and it works.
Yep. That reminds me, I've been thinking about getting, have you seen the Elgato Stream Deck?
I have, and I've also seen the price of the Elgato Stream Deck, which is what kind of made me build my own.
Yeah, but they don't have little LCDs on the buttons.
That's true, but you can put little LEDs on the buttons.
True. And I'm not sure how well if that would work on Linux at all. I haven't actually looked into that.
What, the Elgato?
Yeah.
Probably still pretty well. It depends on how it's programmed or if you can reprogram it.
I thought about getting it for seeing if we can set it up with a vMix at church so that we can have it push button.
But I picked up some Arduinos I picked three of them up for a total of $15. And I picked up a whole bunch of mechanical keys for next to nothing.
Mm.
And I'm going to 3D print everything else and solder it up and see how it works. Then figure out the total cost and maybe build several of them and sell them.
The 15 key Stream Deck is $150.
Yeah, see, that's a bit more than I want to pay.
You can get smaller one too. I think they have one with only 6 keys. What's that one? That one's 92, so why would you... Yeah, I'd go for the other one.
I've got this 12-key design that I'm going to print out, including keycaps.
The 32-key is $250, which is really expensive.
And 12 keys is, like, what? I think they're 10 cents each is what the price breaks down to. Even if it's 20 cents each, that's still, what, $2 and some odd cents. And then $5 for the Arduino. So $7.50. And then probably, what, 200, maybe 250 grams, which is a quarter of a roll. Roll costs $20, so another $5.
Ooh, it probably does work on Linux. There's a Python-based Elgato Stream Deck library.
So less than $15 to build my own versus the $150 for the Elgato?
Yeah. Just depends on what you want. If you want the pretties, go for the Elgato. If you don't care... Go for building your own.
It's still going to be pretty. It's just not going to have, you know, individual screens for all the keys.
Mm-hmm. See, I'd probably use that for Zoom calls, probably.
Yeah, it's a great way to set up your auto mute.
Zoom calls have their recent client update added the ability to put filters over top of you. So, for example, you can make it look like you're wearing a hat when you're not.
Oh, I've seen it, yeah.
And you can put have your character, your image, I should say, wearing sunglasses and you're not. My experience on that kind of stuff, like with like, what was the one on Snapchat was the one on the phone. But any other that kind of thing that does the facial recognition and puts things over your face generally doesn't work too well in my case because I got glasses on.
Then what? Take them off.
Mm-hmm. Except I need them to see with because my eyes are shit, man. As you've discovered, too, Dan, yeah. You at some point probably should go to the eye doctor and get you some bifocals because I bet you need them now.
They told me I need bifocals, and I said I don't want bifocals.
It ain't so bad.
So I know I'm going to have to...
You get used to them quickly, and you get the progressive, so there's no line on them like there was when we were kids and our grandparents had bifocals. You could tell. You can't even tell anymore, and it becomes natural to use the two different sections of my eyeglasses. Yay.
Oh my goodness, it's getting late.
And it's doggy day. Happy dog day to all of your puppers.
Wait, what the hell is dog day?
It's like the national dog, like, I don't know what they call it. People have been sharing pictures of their dog. It's National Dog Day. So I think it's just a way for people to share pictures of their dog on Facebook and justify it. I don't know. So anyway. One thing I don't like that our new house is going to have is a new microwave that's over the stove. Inside of it's going to be white, and I don't like that. Our current one is like stainless inside of the microwave, and it cleans a whole lot easier. But oh well, we'll deal. It's better than living here. So much more space. I figured this out. We're going from like 1,400 square feet to like 2,000 square feet, Dan. That's a whole lot more room.
That is. What are you going to do with all that space? Fill it with game cabinets?
Don't think I even thought of that.
I don't know. Would you like wipe like that?
I don't know. Because I'd have to put them downstairs because I wouldn't want to take them up to the man cave. They do think I'm going to build a gate, like a desktop rig up there. So if I figure this out, if this office is 8x8, I have 64 square foot. And, The bonus room, which is my new office area, has 209 square foot. Because it's 11 by 19. I want to have plenty of room. We almost thought about one option is they could have converted the dining area downstairs into an office space, but it would be closer to this size probably, which is not ideal. I need more room. I'll actually be able to set up all my laptops and my refrigerator will be able to sit on the floor. A little mini fridge in my office. Best thing I ever did. Because when you're on a 6-hour Zoom call trying to work a P1, you know what that's like, right, Dan?
Work on a what?
A P1, a priority one problem.
Oh, all problems.
You wouldn't know that. You don't have those problems, do you?
I don't. Is that a ServiceNow thing?
Yeah.
No, I don't use ServiceNow. I hate ServiceNow.
I do too.
You know what? We were grooming a ticket at work, and I'm like, wait, somebody would have to make a ticket to the security team in ServiceNow, right? And I'm like, that's an automatic 8 points on that ticket right there, because that thing's a nightmare. And everybody else agrees, ServiceNow sucks.
Yep. Were you on Orlando version, or do you even know or care?
I have no idea. I just know that I have to go into service now like once every couple of months, and it always looks different, and I can never find my way around.
Yeah, several projects going on. One is the one I talked a little bit about last week. Then comes AWS modernization. That's going to be fun because we're going to have to start telling our clients, no, you can't do that anymore. One of the things they're going to do is they're going to put all the client machines. I think they're going to make them all join our domain. So, because right now, a lot of their, especially our Windows clients, their systems are joined to their domain, even though we take care of them. And we tell them, leave them out of your Windows maintenance in AD. But a lot, like more than once, they've pushed the group policy down from their domain controller and it hit their own servers, which wasn't fun. Because it breaks shit. But that's like today, I've been troubleshooting an issue. We have a process is basically when they run the process, it's supposed to do an SFTP session from within the application and pull a common delimited file down. And I think it's supposed to import it into the system and then export data out of it. All right. Well, turn on the debug in the test, this is in the test system. Turn on the debug, and it's telling me that I can't read the directory. Or it can't give me a directory listing. And from the same machine where this code's executing, I fire up either a WinSCP session or a plain old using PuTTY SFTP client to get to that server. Goes in just fine, and I can get a directory listing. So that tells me the user we're using has all the permissions it needs, but for some reason it can't pull a directory listing in our application. And I have no idea. And the client, we were due to disable some older TLS protocols on some of their Windows front ends, and they decided because of this, they didn't want to do that because they thought that it would mess with Secure FTP, even though Secure FTP doesn't use TLS. Transport layer security, if you don't know what it means. So, we'll figure it out. I'm hoping the support guy comes back and tells me what we need to do. I'm wondering if there's a way that I need to put the fingerprint for their server somewhere in our software so that it doesn't. So basically, you know how when you first SFTP or secure copy into a machine that you haven't done before, it says, "Oh, hey, I don't recognize this machine. Do you want me to store the key for you for next time?" And you say, "Yeah." And then when you do it the next time, if the key changes, it'll warn you. So I don't know if I have to do something like that or not. I guess I'll find out. It's one of those things we have few clients actually use.
You just tell that, huh?
I just use FTP, right? Who cares about keeping it secure?
That's it.
I'm joking, of course. You want to keep it secure, absolutely.
I have not... Oh, go ahead.
Yep. Well, go ahead. No,
I was going to say, I have not finished watching High Score yet. I watched the first three episodes and like a quarter of the fourth one before I fell asleep. No, maybe half of it. It just got up to where they were doing the sports and the Sega.
Yeah.
That's it, that part.
And then want to start falling asleep on that one.
I really dug the role-playing one, the third episode. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah. Very much. My favorite was the first episode. The first episode was my favorite.
Yeah, all good so far.
Yep. But like Pat said earlier, they're definitely missing some. There's definitely more they can do in a season two. Like I'd love to see them talk about the video.
What?
Maybe the motion cap game. Like, not the motion cap games, but like. You know, that'd be neat if they could talk about that.
Like, what was it, Firefox? And
that Laserdisc game they should talk about too, yeah. Because one Laserdisc games I was never could ever figure out, actually both of them, was Space Ace and Dragon's Lair. I could never play them. I don't know why.
Yeah, I could get, like, I never got near the end, but I could get through a couple of screens. But for some reason, every time I play, it just didn't seem like it would sync up properly with when you were supposed to move.
You see, those ones are more like the VCR games, you know? See, now, did you didn't watch the whole fighting episode, did you? The fighting game one?
I didn't get to that one yet.
Okay. Because they talk about that, like the blood and gore in Mortal Kombat. Uh-huh. And I remember that time, too, where people, like the Senate and everyone was complaining about the blood and gore and then the fatalities and stuff in Mortal Kombat. But they had talked about a different game, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. And I had never heard of it before. I want to say Night Shift, but that's not it. What was the name of that game?
It was the one with Data Plato.
Yeah, she was in it, yeah. Or at least it looked like her, anyway.
Wait, which one are you talking about?
I'm trying to remember the name.
Night something?
Yeah, Night something. I can't. Why can't I remember?
Wait, is this a Laserdisc game or is this a fighting game?
No, it was
It's on Sega Genesis.
Yeah, it was on Sega CD.
Did Angry Video Game Nerd do an episode about it?
Hmm?
Not Night Trap, was it?
That's it. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, didn't Angry Video Game Nerd do an episode about the Sega CD Night Trap?
He may have. Well, then there's the vivid video games on 3DO, and by vivid I mean the porn company.
Yeah. We gotta start wrapping this up. It's 5 minutes after 10. It's bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Bedtime for Joel.
No, I gotta go paint my ceiling in my bathroom.
Ooh, tonight?
Yeah, I already got one coat on. I wanna put at least another coat.
What color are you painting it? Black?
White. Right. It's a ceiling. That's what ceilings get painted white, I guess. I don't know. That's gonna be the fun decision tomorrow, is figuring out what color paint we want. My wife will want, I'm probably guessing she's going to want yellow.
You know, you're going to get the house all fixed up and painted and everything, and be like, why the hell are we moving? It looks so wonderful. And then
it's because it's good, because the new one's going to look even better. Because it's going to be perfect. This one won't be perfect because, you know.
All right, I'm going to play this out. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. Here are your promos.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
Joel. Thank you.
Pat, have a good one.
Joel, take care.
Good night.
Your promo.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. But join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
By the way, yeah, that was Night Trap, and they talk about that in High Score. And you can buy that on your Switch, Dan.
You can? Is that part of the Sega?
It was on Sega CD first, and then it was on the 32X, 3DO, MS-DOS, and Mac OS, Microsoft Windows, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch as of August 24th, 2018.
Anniversary edition.
Yep. Dana Plato's in it.
You know what? I'm not going to buy it.
I probably wouldn't. It's probably going to be a horrible game compared to anything modern. It's like, I'm trying to remember. Vivid brought out. I can't remember the names off the top of my head. I always wanted a 3DO. Never got one.
Yeah, 3DS is really good. Right, I'm going to stop recording. See you tonight, Joel.
Good night.
The channel, I'm disconnected.
You can live in a tent, man. Oh, no, man. You know what? Take the money that you would spend on an apartment or whatever it is, buy a camper. Kill two birds with one stone. Buy that camper you've been wanting. You can just go park it in a campground for a couple of weeks and then move it to the next one wherever they kick you out. Like, you've been here too long. Good day, sir.
Yep. I was telling Pat we got we asked for 155, we got 158. But technically we only get what comes to the table before the realtor gets her cut is 153, because we pay $5,000 in closing costs. But now I got inspections hitting. I got radon guy coming tomorrow and Friday. Inspections coming, and then we get the 4-day negotiation period to figure out what gets fixed before we close, which is going to suck a little bit, but we're already fixing some things. Got the bathroom, my master bath is going to be functional, man. I'm going to have a shitter in my bedroom again. No bidet, though. And that's actually a depressing thing, Dan. I asked them when we were assigned the stuff on the new house and said, do you guys offer the bidet toilets or anything like that? And they say, no, I don't think we do. I'm like, oh, damn it. She's like, well, you can get one of those cheap ones on Amazon. It's like, yeah, it's not quite the same. I don't like cold water shooting me in the ass. Then after the show, I'm going to go finish painting the ceiling in the master bath.
Dun dun dun. Ay, ay, ay.
Looks like New Orleans is going to get hit again.
I don't know about that. I thought it was further west along the Texas border.
Kind of right in between them, yeah.
That's 5 hours west of pretty far away.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're saying 2 to 4 storm surge on Lake Pontchartrain. Looks like between like maybe right at the border.
Yeah, it's far away from New Orleans.
Yeah.
My sister's in New Orleans. New Orleans is like on the Mississippi side.
See, are they going to get both of them at the same time?
What, the other storm? The other storm's like 2 days behind, no?
No, that's not going to do them any favors.
No, of course not. The ground's completely saturated. All the reservoirs are full, you know?
Yeah.
They need this shit. This is nothing new. This has been going on forever.
You should be by now. Well, that goes for it. Now, I'm pretty sure my new house doesn't have it. And I'm pretty sure if I can afford to do it, I would definitely do it. But I saw an ad on I want to say it probably saw it on Facebook. Who knows? I know you're not there no more, Pat, but at least not. Or if you're still there, you won't be.
I haven't shut it down completely yet. But
yeah. I saw a company that would basically run I believe it's probably like a pipe, and you have like a boiler that heats water going through your driveway, and then when you turn that on and you turn it on for the snow, no snow will accumulate on your driveway. But I gotta imagine it's probably pretty freaking expensive. But
they'll turn it on before it snows and it doesn't freeze the pipe up.
True. Well, I think, put it this way, I think it's water moving through it. It might be, it could be electric. It was kind of funny looking. It looked like they lay down like a big Lego piece on the whole driveway, and then the pipe kind of just... Yeah.
Most likely it's hot water.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, just hot water. And it doesn't even have to be that hot. It only has to be like, heck, it can be 70 degrees and it would still keep things warm enough. It's probably going to be hotter than that, though. But yeah, it's probably not gonna be in the cards. The new driveway and new house is gonna be concrete, which I'm gonna like a lot better than asphalt. Now it's just fixing this shit and getting the fuck out of Columbus.
That time. Damn.
Cheated tonight.
You gonna tell your wife?
She had one too. Actually, she had fried chicken.
Where'd you go? KFC?
No, Kroger.
Oh.
Their deli stuff is pretty decent. They're no Wegmans, but they're pretty decent. No Wegmans or no Wawa. Although, I need to check it out when we're supposed to be getting a Sheetz. You ever heard of Sheetz, Dan?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Sheetz.
They're supposed to have good subs, too.
You know what? I've never had a Sheetz sub, but I've had like other sandwiches there,
sub, yeah.
And I've they've never sat well with me. I don't know why. Yeah. Maybe I should just get one of their subs and be done with it.
Yeah, but maybe you just grab the shit that was already made. See, that's
no,
part of my
ordered
problem.
I ordered it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Wow. Huh.
I should have gotten subs there, I guess. Because it's hard. Like, I had a burger one time, and I had a chicken sandwich another time. But everything else I've had there, like, well, I those are the only things I had made to order. And then I stopped ordering made-to-order stuff from there because it didn't sit well. So.
I guess it just depends. It's all... Both of them are better than freaking Subway anymore. I to the point I don't really want to eat Subway all that much anymore.
Yeah, I haven't been to Subway in years.
They've gone down the freaking hill, man.
I'll let Joe eat the Subway.
I don't eat Subway.
He's a sandwich artist.
I don't eat bread.
Subway without the sandwich.
You mean a salad?
Yeah.
I like Quiznos, too.
I used to like Quiznos.
Are they around?
Not much.
I haven't seen a Quiznos in years.
I haven't been to a Quiznos in years. I have no idea if they're still around. I assume they are.
I know they hit some hard times.
They got bought out by Subway, and now it's all Subway.
Sponge monkeys were the best thing they had.
The hell's a sponge monkey?
That's those little creatures in the, what, early 2000s that would go, "We love the subs, for they are good to us."
Well, I think that's the last
advertisement.
That I must have lost cable TV before that happened. I don't remember seeing those.
Nope.
I guess we'll start this show.